Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Come and ask your questions. Share your concerns. Experiencing life on 657 AM.
Sihamba ngokholo kunye nawe apha eRadio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
You're on 657 AM. You are on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Do remember to tune in on Radio Pulpit 657 AM online on Radio Council Hartlank, on Radio Pulpit Jigelele, on the I Am Youth as well, web radio. We are available on all those platforms. And yes, family, it is Heart to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock at 3. Germany, Johan else will be with you on something else. I am now joined by Pastor Gladwell Zabane, who's on the line with me. Muruti, how are you?
I am blessed of the Lord and very strong. Thank you so much, ma'am. How are you?
I'm blessed of the Lord and saying welcome to you. It's been a while, but thank God we are here.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's been a while. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's awesome. Always awesome to be sharing with you. Although today we are sharing a kind of sad thing that we've seen happening. I don't know even to call it a trend or what to call it, but we're seeing more and more of such cases taking place in South Africa. And they are affecting even the love life. They are affecting marriages. They are affecting relationships. What we see happening, we're seeing women dying at the hands of those who are supposed to protect them, those who are supposed to love them. In some of the cases, we have seen those women who said, I don't think I can take it any longer in this relationship. I want out. And as soon as they say that, they are saying it unto their own death. It's like they're signing a warrant of their own death. And soon after that, they are found dead and killed by the one who declared love to them in the beginning. Another one that we also see is the one that women are lured by suitors. Mm. And you think, oh, this man is smitten. We've seen it happening in the previous years where scammers would be using women to get money and all that. There would always be a scammerlet around such that, you know, be careful. They will propose you and tell you they are in Europe, they are coming for you. And they are into civil engineering or whatever, big posts, you know, big careers with big monies. And they would be like, I'm coming to spend it. And then the next thing, a woman would be used to pay something that she never expected as well. Some money would be drawn from them by those scammers. But now we see scams, this kind of scams happening now in South Africa, where women are saying, we don't talk to strangers any longer, and we don't even trust the men that we fellowship with. Some are in our churches. We don't trust men in general any longer. It's affecting that space. It's affecting even the ministry of marriage. It's affecting relationships. It's affecting families. It's affecting everyone. And so one would ask a question, what are we seeing? What's happening? What's happening to our men's mental health? Should we be concerned about some of our men's mental health?
Yeah, no, thank you very much. No, indeed, it is a serious concern regarding men's mental health. You know, how a lot of us men think, how a lot of us men approach life, also coupled with some of the experiences from the past that men have been through. Also adding to that the manner in which men have generally been, or let me say the kind of things that they've been subjected to, the kind of thinking patterns that they've been subjected to, which have, caused wrongful thinking in the mind of a man. And also the question of anger and the failure to properly and adequately deal with anger-related matters and anger-related issues.
Hmm.
But at the bottom of it all, it is the fact that, you know, when you look at churches generally, you realize that there are more women and children in churches than there are men.
Mm.
So that then is an indication that men seem to be not able to trust the Lord and look up to the Lord for help, for the Lord to help in whatever situation or circumstances that men may be facing, which is very sad. You remember that Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8,
mm-hmm.
he said, I will, therefore, another version will say, I desire mm-hmm. that men pray in every place of fellowship,
mm-hmm.
lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And so now this is how it's supposed to be, that men ought to be able to lift up holy hands to God, but now, you know, instead of doing that, men seem to be taking matters into their own hands. And sadly, when one is not fully informed about in general, when one is not fully informed about the situation that is happening around one's life, one tends to tend to the wrong kind of solution.
Mm.
And which then ultimately leads to this kind of anger. At the bottom of it all, it's the fact that men are not able to deal with anger and anger-related issues adequately. And so they vent out in the wrong way, unfortunately, which then, sadly, you know, in most cases, women are more vulnerable to men because, physically speaking, a man would generally be stronger than a woman. Yes, there are women who are very strong, but generally speaking, there are, you know, men are generally physically stronger than women. And so
mm-hmm.
it becomes easier to take advantage of that strength, that physical strength, and then abuse the poor woman, or even to the point of control, because that's the other thing.
Mm.
It's the seeking of control. Once a man believes that the only way for me to know and to say that I'm a man is if I have full control of everyone around me, then that really affects the psychological well-being of a man, because then it
that
says,
is toxic.
It's toxic, you know, because it says, how do you then enforce this control? And then the only way that men can that men who think this way can think of is using violence against those who are less able to defend themselves physically, against those who are vulnerable to that kind of force.
Mm.
And so it's a sad situation that really should raise a serious amount of concern within the community, within churches, within families, because it's happening in all, you know, areas of society.
Mm.
It's really affecting our well-being, not only the well-being of men, but also it spills over to everyone around the men, because then it instills fear, like you were rightfully pointing out, that women will be afraid of interacting with men.
Mm.
Because you cannot trust, you do not know, you know, the motives behind when someone, especially when a man makes these huge promises, it should be an indication and a sign to say, I need to approach this with caution, with utmost caution, because you must understand something as a woman. Once a man feels that he owns you by way of you know, providing you with whatever you ask of him, then he feels that he controls you, he feels that he owns you, he feels that you should be obedient to him, and you should, as the result, not argue with him. You should not disagree with him. Hmm. You should not do things that he doesn't want. Now, remember that. It's not about doing the right thing, but it's about doing what the man doesn't want. It's about doing what makes the man unhappy.
Hmm.
And so the motive behind is wrong completely when, you know, starting from that point. If that's how a man thinks, that because I own you, because I do things for you, because I offer you things that I feel you can't afford yourself, therefore you should then be subservient to me. You should then listen to everything I say, and if you don't, there will be consequences.
Sure.
And that is what causes all these problems.
But what's scary is that the suitors chase women for money as well.
Yes, you see, that's it's two sides of it.
Okay.
On the one side is a man, in fact, let me say three sides. On the one side is a man who has access to material things and money and can use that to control whoever receives or takes from them. That's the first one. The second one is a man who lies to women, pretending to be having resources, financial, material, and so forth, just to lure the women into their lives, so that they can do harm to them, either, you know, exercise violence over them, kill them, or whatever the situation might be, or even rape them. Then the third side of it is that side of those men who prey on women who are doing well for themselves. And they come in there, they find their way to gain access into the woman's life. And once the woman, you know, the thing about women is that when a woman trusts a man, she becomes open to him, and she opens up everything. She will open her body, she will open her purse, she will just open, be open about everything, and which makes her vulnerable. You know. And then the man will then take advantage of that, and sometimes even take her on a guilt trip, making her believe that if you love me, you have
you
to
will
take care
do
of
this
me financially.
Yes.
You know. And so when the woman feels guilty, then, you know, she is now in a position where she is trapped, because she tries to prove to the man that, look, I do love you, and I do care about you. And so she tries to do the best that she can, and that's how we see it happening a lot when men take advantage of women in that particular sense. And that is why then you will understand that is where this narrative of a man must came from. Because then it comes from the fact that, you know, when a man comes to take advantage of what I have worked for, then the best approach for me is to say, if a man wants to come into my life, then he's got to be able to play his role, you know, in terms of providing financially, providing materially, and so forth. And that's where you find that relationships now and marriage revolve around money and material things rather than the connection that should exist, you know, emotionally, mentally, and even spiritually, to connect the two. So just as Genesis 2:24 mentions, the two shall become one flesh, then that no longer becomes the objective. Now the aim is to say, we've got to ensure that materially we are there. We've got to ensure that financially we are there. And once the relationship changes position and the focus changes and moves to finance and material things, that's where problems start. Now, you look at it also in this way. When people go to divorce court, the one thing that causes them to fight more is the division of estate.
Yeah.
Showing that now, you know, when we prioritize finance and material things, it causes us to neglect one another, to neglect even the relationship. Ultimately, the relationship fails, And when that happens, we then want to gratify ourselves by saying, I want to take from this person as much as I can.
Hmm.
And that's when they start to fight. So in a similar way, you know, when a man realizes that a woman is more concerned about money and material things,
mm-hmm.
he will try to show her that this is what he will do for her. But in return, he will want to have total and complete control over her. If he feels that he's not getting that, he can also tend to become violent. And it's a sad, sad state of affairs.
Sure. That is like really, really sad. Would you say that we as the society have led our men to this state and put our sisters under threat ourselves with the conditions that we have put for men to say,
look, society,
this is a man, yes. And yeah.
Yes, look, society to a certain extent has had some contribution towards that. Although we cannot blame, you know, everything on the contribution of society as such, because, you know, each case on its own must be viewed on its merits.
Mm.
However, society has had some contribution towards that, because if you look at the kind of narratives that, you know, society has been pushing, like the very one that prioritizes money and material things, and then that becomes how society defines a man. You know, when they say you are a man, they say, okay, let's test your manhood. How much do you have in your account?
Mm.
Where do you work? What are you capable of? Can you provide? And then the title of a man as a provider, which, by the way, is not scriptural, then comes in, and men begin to see themselves that way. And in some of the situations, what happens is when a man sees himself that way, based on how society describes manhood in terms of masculinity, he tries to fit into that, to conform to that kind of thinking and that way of life. But then if things don't turn out the way that he would expect them to turn out, he then feels that he's entitled to do something against whoever he was expecting to show a certain level of loyalty and gratitude in the way that he expected it. And then it leads to that. So society has made, you know, contributions that have led to this kind of behavior. You know, the kind of frustrations that come out of that, and when a man cannot handle that, he tends to become violent.
Sure.
And that's why.
Has it always,
you know,
been
I'm
like
doing...
that? Sorry, Muruti. Has it always been like,
yes,
that, or it's something which is like really new? Because I think we're seeing it more and more happening. We are burying a lot of our young women and women in general as well as a result of this, where you find the man says, or the actions of the man say, if,
yes,
I cannot have you, then no any other man will have you.
Yeah. Look, this has been happening from long ago. However, now we are seeing a sharp increase in such cases, in such situations. And I think one of the things that contributed to that has been the fact that, how shall I put it, the women were now allowed to have, you know, to be able to exercise their rights, which they are rightfully entitled to. But then that turned the tables, because then it made men feel that they have lost the power and the control that they had over a woman. Because in olden days, the women would mostly focus on taking care of the home, the children, the family. So not a lot of women, you know, were holding jobs outside the home. And as a result, the man was then the one, seemed to be the one going out to work, and then coming back and buying food, buying everything, you know, right. providing a home and everything.
Right.
And that then gives the man the feeling that I am in charge, I am in control. Which we saw, we used to see when a woman would be experiencing violent treatment from her man, and people would ask, why are you still staying in this relationship? And they would say, he is providing me with everything. Mm. You know, my children, food, clothes, and everything. Mm. I depend on him. And once that becomes taken away in terms of the fact that the woman now becomes empowered, especially economically, she no longer needs to depend on him. She can do certain things for herself. The man then feels disrespected. Notice I said he feels disrespected, which means whether or not he's right is an entirely different matter. But he feels that the only power that he had on the woman has now been taken away. And he becomes angry. And that's why some men will say, you know what, if I can have you, no one will have you. As a result, I'm going to make sure that I wipe your existence off of the face of the earth.
And then he wakes up after that. He realizes, I messed up, but it's too late.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's too late.
Maradi, let's take it. Because, yes, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Because?
Yeah, no, I was saying because whatever actions you take, you know, the Lord created humanity with a conscience, and it will deal with you.
All righty then.
Yeah.
Let's take a break, and then, Muruti, let's come back and find out how we can, because it's a spirit now, and it's growing. It's scary. And I'm wondering, because now people are even afraid with people they know, and women are scared well to even involve themselves in any form of relationships. But yeah, let's take a break and then let's come back to see if there is a way that we can deal with it, especially as the body of Christ. And I think it's time we take it all to the Lord in prayer as well. If you haven't started, it's not late to do so, but it's something that we ought to do. I think it's a great start.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Discover an abundance of life. 657 AM.
It is Heart to Heart. I am Sibongile Mofokeng, and it is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And my family, we gave you the sounds of Tamela Men. And we are with you on Heart to Heart up until 3 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, Germany, you and Els will say hello to you on something else. I'm not alone. I'm talking to Pastor Gladwell Zabani. We concerned and talking about the men's mental health, relationships and murders in South Africa. And if there's something that the church can do or that we can do as a people to arrest the spirit that we have been seeing sweeping our streets, you know, sweeping our nations as well. Our nation, where we're seeing our young women and women being killed at the hands of those who are supposed to protect them and love them. And I see a lot of men are up against that. But again, we see a lot of men also continuing in this trend. What's scary, Muruti, is that it's not only in South Africa, hey? I think not so long on social media, there was a couple that was arguing right on social media. And the husband unalived the wife right in front of people's screens. And he took his own life. And so the couple died, left two children. That was sad. And I was like, really? Like, on this platform? It started out as though it's a joke, only to find that it was a serious thing. And he killed her. He killed her and he took his life. And both of them were buried and they died. It's really disturbing what the kind of spirit that we're seeing taking place in our nation and in other nations as well. Is there a way that we can deal with this? Is there a way that men's health can also be attended to? Because every time there are certain things happening, we are referred to how and reflect. We have to do a reflection of how did we get here mentally, what's happening. And we are taken back on the societal pressures that are there on men, financial pressures that are there on men, expectations and all of that. Is there a way of dealing with this, Muruti? Can we come out of this?
Yes, no, absolutely. Yeah, sorry.
Yes, Muruti, you can continue.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, no, absolutely, there is a way to do that. In fact, there are ways to rescue the situation. Firstly, we need to empower men. And when I say empower men, we need to empower men in terms of knowledge. Remember that the Bible is very clear through the prophet Hosea, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge.
Yes.
Now, we need to empower men, firstly, with knowledge. Firstly, of what the Word of God says about who a man is, what a man is, what the role and the responsibility of a man are.
Mm-hmm.
We need to create platforms for men to vent out their frustrations, their emotional pain and hurt. We need to create platforms for men to open up and be able to cry out when it hurts.
Okay.
One of the things that has really done an injustice to a lot of men has been the fact that a man has been defined in terms of the kind of strength that is described as an ability to absorb things and keep them bottled up on the inside. Indoda ayikhali, a man doesn't cry. That is one of the things that we really must work hard as the church, as the body of Christ, as society, to change that kind of thinking. We need to then empower men to say, look, this is what true strength is, and show the, illustrate and demonstrate to men out there what it really means to be a man. That the notion, especially of the way in which some of us interpret respect,
mm-hmm.
we interpret respect in terms of people must fear me.
Ish.
When people fear me, then that's when I feel respected. We need to create those platforms to address those kind of issues and change them. And I really honestly believe that we need to reach out to men. You know, a lot of men are not in church because while other people are in church, they are in taverns, they are in places where they are drinking, substances and all of that. And most of them, it's the aim is to numb the pain that they're feeling on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so create platforms that will allow men to say, I can feel safe to open up about my feelings in this particular platform.
Yeah.
You know, I can speak out, I can vent out so that you don't have, rage and anger that builds up way on the inside. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of a man will carry even his sick body, but a crushed spirit who can bear?
Mm.
And when you look at what crushes the spirit of humanity, it's words or information. So we need to revisit and review the kind of information that we disseminate out there regarding relationships, regarding marriage, regarding manhood, regarding what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a man, regarding the question of respect. Mm. And address all of these questions. And do our best to address them. And of course, the starting point is to really, really make a concerted effort to pray for men. To pray for men and ask for the Lord's intervention in their lives. Mm. Ask that the Lord should help so that they should come to open their hearts and know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The other thinking that we must also correct is the very one of the provider, of a man being a provider, because Scripture doesn't say that. God is our provider, and we work jointly as a team when people are married to make sure that there is food, there is resources in the home. When we address this kind of thinking, it will help to deal with the question of inferiority complex, where a man starts to feel inadequate and looks down on himself if he loses his ability to gain an income.
Yeah.
And if we change that kind of thinking, not only in men, but also in the rest of society, to say, do not place those kind of expectations on a man. If it happens that a man loses his ability to generate an income, let us rally around him. Let us offer that support, prayerfully and otherwise. Let us encourage this man. You know, the Bible says that we should encourage one another. We should strengthen one another. You remember when David was hiding from Saul and he was in the wilderness, the Bible says he was in the woods. One thing that I like, the Bible says Jonathan went to David. In other words, he left the comfort of his own home as the king's son, and he went into the wilderness. The Bible says when he got there, he strengthened David.
Yeah.
And so this is what I believe we need to do. You know, let's create these platforms, as many of them as we can, and let's support them. And let the women and the children also do their best to be supportive in encouraging men to pay attention to these kind of efforts. So that they can be helped, because I can tell you that a lot of men are heavily burdened and they don't know what to do with that, where to go, who to talk to, how to ease those burdens. A lot of men don't know how to pray, a simple thing like that. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to pray to the Lord when they are in trouble.
Sure.
And so when you look at the lives of men of God in the Word, like, you know, David, I've mentioned him, and Moses and all the other men of God, they relied on the Lord and they prayed a lot.
Yeah.
They prayed a lot. I mean, if you read Psalm 40 and Psalm 41, that's where you see that David, at the time when he was helpless, he says, I waited patiently on the Lord. I called out and cried out to him, and he delivered me out of all trouble.
Yes.
And so we need to teach men to pray. We really, really need to teach men to pray and the importance of prayer. That's why even in many homes, it is the women, the wives, the mothers who take the lead in leading the family in prayer. Mm. And we need to change all of that and say, this is your responsibility as a man.
Mm.
And that's how, when you do such things and we see those efforts that you are making, we appreciate and we encourage and say, this is what being a man is. When you teach your family the Word, you know, and you pray with your family, then we say, now this is a man who is leading his family, to encourage the men to say, your efforts have not gone unnoticed.
Sure. Yeah, Moruti, there's more to be said on this topic. There's yeah. a lot. I hear just a lot. I'm also thinking about what you have referred to, how men are treated once they lose their jobs or means of financial support and all. And so there's quite a lot. There's quite a lot. But I also believe that we need to also be protecting the others as well, protecting our women as well, making sure that they are safe as well. Muruti, we don't have much time, but I'm going to allow you to just lead us in prayer where this is concerned. And thank you. I know that you have been doing talks on mental health where our men are concerned as well. Because this has become a serious concern in our society, in our nation, nationwide, actually. It has become a concern. So thank you so much for taking that time. Can we just take it to the Lord in prayer at this moment? I think I will mention your numbers in every other way that family can contact you after prayer.
Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this afternoon. We praise your holy name. We glorify you, Lord. We acknowledge that you are God. There is none other beside you. Lord, we come to you for your help because we know that you are the only one who can help us. We trust in you, Lord, and our faith and hope are anchored in you. Lord, we are in trouble. Our nations and our generation and the generations to come are in trouble where the male person or the male man, the male seed is being crushed over many things that are happening in and around their lives, over even some of the wrong things that the male person does. Lord, it is a tough situation. We cry out to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We wait upon you, Lord, and we call upon you. We cry out to you to say, Lord, please intervene and please help us. Deliver us, O God, as men from all of the troubles and the calamities, Lord, that we are experiencing. Preserve us and keep us alive, O Lord. So that and cause us to be blessed upon the earth and deliver us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus from all our troubles, we pray. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name that you strengthen our mind, you strengthen our hearts and our souls and the rest of the body of Christ and the rest of society, Lord God, to help men in this situation, to help restore wellness to the health, to the mind of a man, to restore mental health, Lord God, in Jesus' name, to those who are even contemplating suicide, I pray for your divine intervention in their lives. Those who are contemplating to commit acts of violence against women and children, as we speak, we pray, Father, that you intervene in Jesus' name and turn them around, help them to change their minds and look at life in a different way. Send forth laborers into the field to harvest them. Send people, oh God, to speak to them, oh God, and help them change their minds and help them turn around and help them refrain from the decisions that some of them have taken. In the name of Jesus, I pray, protect us all, protect the women and the children, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Muruti. May God awesomely bless you and keep keeping you. For those who'd like to be in contact with you, how do they do so?
They can call me, WhatsApp me, or SMS me on 071-148-4938. That's 071-148-4938. Alternatively, they can connect with me on Facebook. They can just look for Gladwell Zabani. And if they want to contact me by email, it's gladwellzabani@gmail.com.
gladwellzabani@gmail.com. Muruti Ralevoga. Let's meet again and talk some more. There's a lot that needs to be spoken about. There's a lot of healing that needs to take place. Morena Obulukese. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much.
He is Pastor Gladwell Zabani on all social media platforms. Do remember that his email address is gladwellzabani@gmail.com. His numbers 071-148-4938. Let's continue praying for our country, praying for the safety of our women and children, and also praying for the male seed as well. Let's cover them all the time with our prayers. Wherever we stand, whenever we stand, we just raise our hands and pray. Always remember that for our men and also for the safety of our women and children. I'm signing out. And as we have said, yes, it is a spirit that we are fighting. So I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Swazi Dlamini, Break Every Chain. As we say hello to Dramini, Johan Els. Let's meet tomorrow in the morning at 9 o'clock up until 11 on Just For You. Have a great one. Love you. Bye-bye.
Share the love. Share the truth. Share the life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222. Or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.